Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Okay, well, I think we're on the air. Kay Thompson here on Kay Thompson Live. And we have a hot show for tonight and a lot of things happening. And we're going to be talking to Wayne Gilman, who's a former news director at WLIV Radio, and we're expecting him to call in any second. And we're going to be telling you a whole lot of information. First of all, we're going to be talking about the president's speech at the United Nations today. I'm quite sure a lot of people have listened to that. And that was really quite a momentous occasion. The United Nations is one of the most important buildings, a place in the world, because all, of course, the world leaders have been coming into New York in droves, and, of course, that means heavy traffic and has always meant heavy traffic in New York City. Having been there when a couple of the world leaders came to the United Nations and to the United Nations, it's quite a lovely building, a very powerful building. You can actually feel the power, you know, around, United Nations building. And the traffic, awful. This is a time that when the president is in town with all these world leaders, what we should do and what everybody should do is make sure you know that this is happening and take different routes or even stay home for the day if you can, because they're dealing with some very, very important issues. And, of course, you know that the president has decided that not the president alone, but the government has decided that they have to take physical action, you know, bombing in Syria against ISIS. And I think we have a call right now. I think this is Wayne Gilman, our co-host, calling in for the moment. Eric Kane is in Washington, and Gina is in Washington, and there's a lot of things going on in Washington also at the same time. Wayne, are you on the air?
Yes, I am, Kay. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you doing?
How
are you maneuvering
there? Well, maneuver is a good word, you know.
Yeah.
I had a chance to get a taste of it on Monday morning. And, you know, as you just said a moment ago, it's never easy in New York when it comes to the United Nations General Assembly meetings.
Yeah.
And, and this was a pretty big one because the president, Barack Obama, is the chair of this particular session. And he's had a lot to say, and he's on the right side of a number of issues. And New Yorkers have had to basically, as they normally would, be tolerant of this kind of activity because this is the international headquarters, other than what they have in Geneva, for the UN.
Yeah, the world leaders. Listen, but Wayne, you know, before we go into the meat of, you know, what the president was talking about. You know what, now you've been to the United Nations, I've been to the United Nations, and we have been there during the time when, you know, the leaders of the world, you know, have come to meet, and it's really a very confusing time for the average person, the average New Yorker. People from Jersey, you know, and different other places, you know, they don't know what to expect. But what's a typical day like? For instance, let's set the scene for people. Now, when we were going in, we were both at LIBBLS, all right? And they closed down just about everything. So how did you maneuver during that time?
I tell you, to be honest with you,
what's it like on the streets?
Well, I mean, it's congested because mostly everyone wants to drive, and they're accustomed to driving to wherever they want to go. Cab rides are basically a dime a dozen out there because everyone's hailing a cab, everyone's got meetings to attend, and then on top of the UNGA, you have the Bill Clinton Global Initiative at the same time. Now, why they were timed together, I could only assume because they had all these world leaders in New York at the same time. Bill Clinton, the former president, and someone who's remained very politically active, and the prospects of his wife seeking the Oval Office after Barack Obama's term is over. You know, I guess it was a strategic plan on their part to have both go, and then there was this jockeying, I guess, in terms of time, in terms of speeches that were given between appearances that were made at Clinton's place, which which was at the Sheridan in Midtown on 52nd Street and 7th.
Okay.
And then they had to
and
go back
across
town.
Wayne?
Yeah.
Let's hold for just a minute. We have another caller calling in now. This could
okay.
be Gina. Or, hello, you're on the air. Joining us is, hello.
Hi, Kay, it's Tony. But I didn't call to talk about what's going on at the UN. I'm not prepared for that.
Tony? Tony who?
Tony Ann Johnson.
Tony?
You asked me to call
oh, Tony.
So you can interview me.
Yeah, hi. Hi, how are you? I really thought that Gina would be calling. I really thought that Gina would be calling, you know, talking about your book. But just listen, Tony, I want you to join in on this conversation with me and with Wayne Gilliman, who's a former director of news director at WLIB. What we're doing right now, and you know this because you're in New York an awful lot of the time, you're a famous writer and you've had your book, your book signing in Harlem. But we're talking about what it looks like, what it feels like, what is that atmosphere, what is the excitement when the United Nations has a meeting in New York City. So, Wayne, this is Tony. Let her join in on this. Tony Jones.
Certainly, Tony. I defer to you, beauty before age.
Oh, thank you. I really don't – I'm not sure that I have that much to add on this subject. It's not what I was prepared to talk about, but I think it's very exciting when any dignitaries come to the UN and there are meetings at the UN. It's been I haven't lived in New York for 22 years, so it's been a while. But yeah, I mean that is exciting. It's a little unnerving right now with what's going on. It's it's not just exciting; it's also serious.
Yeah,
it is.
Serious,
we're living in some very tough times right now, and I think that's one of the reasons why it was so important. Because a lot of people, they see this event take place on a regular basis, but I think to a certain extent there's this dismissive attitude towards the UN, thinking that it's irrelevant. But it's times like this when people are getting their heads chopped off and that the whole world is standing in awe, I mean, negatively speaking, of what is going on in the Middle East, that, there's a need to come together and try to see if they could root out this problem that's taking place.
And at the same time, the arts and everything else is going on. The theater is going on. Tony's book signing was in Harlem, a few weeks ago, and that was very successful. So everything else is going on along with the excitement of the United Nations, along with the excitement from people all over the world, along with the excitement of the theater district. And, Tony, did you also perform in the theater?
When I was there recently, no, I didn't. But I did used to years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Do you remember the excitement of it?
Kay, she sounds like as if she has something very interesting to discuss about her book. So,
yeah.
Maybe we should table
to
the
book
UN and right.
Yeah,
and
we
go
can.
To her.
Is that okay with you?
No, I mean don't let me interrupt. I just didn't want to to contribute to a conversation where I don't know what I'm talking about. I know a little bit about what's going on with ISIS and that Obama addressed the UN, but that isn't where my head was when I called in. So
okay.
I don't think
this
I have that much to contribute to your, to your listeners. My perspective is kind of irrelevant.
Then what you're going to do right now is talk about your book, okay? Now I know you for a long time, and I know that you're quite a writer, and I know that we had you on the air some time ago when we were calling you the Tree Lady. Was that it?
Yes.
That was so
exciting. I plant trees in L.A., in South L.A. in particular, in my community.
Yeah. Now, is this this is not your first book. Is this your second book?
This is my first published novel. It's my third published book, but my previous two books were in another field. They were nonfiction and they were health related. This is my first novel.
Now, what's the name of it?
It's called Remedy for a Broken Angel.
Remedy for a Broken Angel. How did you come up with that title? What led you to that?
Well, that becomes clear when you read the book. The angel part of it has multiple meanings. There's nicknames. There's two characters who kind of compete for the nickname Angel. There are spirit guides in the book, who people, humans who have passed on that are, could be perceived as angels. The remedy comes from early on in the book. One of the characters is talking about a wound of a psychic sort. Her mother is a narcissist. She grew up feeling that she wasn't loved, and feeling that you weren't loved as a child by one of your parents, by your mother, leaves a scar. And that is a scar that she feels is an irreparable scar on her soul. And so the remedy for the broken angel is for that character, but it's also for the mother character who was herself damaged in childhood. And it sort of deals with the cyclical nature of abuse. So if a parent has been abused previously, that can come back in their own parenting without them really realizing it or understanding it at the time.
That's, you know, one thing, it sounds fascinating. You know, and I have to admit that I have not read the book yet. You know, I'm waiting for it. So, and, you know, of course, we're going to do another interview with you at a different time also. But how was it in writing it? Was it very difficult for you to write? Or, you know, what kind of experiences were you drawing on? Or was this a fictitious story that came to you? You know, writers always fascinate me when they write, you know, their stories. It has to be based on something that they feel,
right,
or see, or they know, or some kind of emotion. So tell us that. Give us an idea.
It is fiction, but there are certainly elements that were drawn from my own life, of course. They would have to be, right? But it is fiction. I mean, none of the characters are meant to represent a real person, but things that happen, events that happen, are drawn from my life. So my mother had narcissistic tendencies, and some of the things that Artie experiences, I experienced via my own relationship with my mother, but also some of the things that Serena experienced, I experienced in my relationships with men. So it's not that Artie is me and Serena is my mother.
Did your mother
kind
know
of
that?
An amalgamation of different people and situations.
Now listen, I know your mother, and we're going to have her on also because, you know, she has that wonderful antique shop, right? Okay, but listen, is she going to be annoyed, you know, that you're drawing this from her in part?
I think it sounds like it's
going to be a fantastic movie, as a matter of fact.
I guess it's too late to even ask that question, Kay.
Sounds like it's going to be one of those really, really thrillers or something.
I think that my mother is, to some degree, annoyed by some of it. She was particularly annoyed with something that happens with the character she believes to be based on her. But as an artist, you really have to take those risks. And if that's your truth and that's your authentic experience, you can try to do it in such a way that isn't humiliating or, you know, doesn't disparage a person. But I tell my mother to her face that she was a narcissist. So it's not a surprise or a secret. And my mother was abusive.
Curious now. I'm telling you, I have to. What's the name of your book again?
Remedy for a Broken Angel.
Say it again.
Remedy for a Broken Angel.
Okay, one more time. Remedy for a Broken Angel. Listen, I can't wait to read it. You know, but it really sounds, it's like something that is going to be a slam of a movie. Wouldn't you say so, Wayne?
Yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Very
I hear this, you know, I'm...
Remedy for a Broken Angel,
You know, it's funny, because I come from the era of Leave It to Beaver, and my family life as a child was perfect, you know. I just lost, as you know, Kay, my dad, and my mom preceded him
some years ago.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, Brooklyn, when I was coming up as a child back then, you know, it's like everything was perfect, you know. I never saw my parents. I knew that they loved each other, but they weren't very demonstrative about that. The only thing that I remember that they were demonstrative of was the fact that whenever I was out of line, they got the belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then you could you could beat your child without having to go to jail. But the deal is, it's just that, you know, when I hear someone talk about their mother, and I'm assuming that, you know, you deeply care, Tony, for your mom, but I don't want to sound that it sounded somewhat disparaging to call her narcissistic, but there are people like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know her, so, and the thing is, I'm just going based on what I'm hearing, you know, just meeting you for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, narcissism comes from somewhere, so the book isn't really that harsh on the character who is a narcissist. It goes into her past and looks at her life and looks at why she is the way she is. She was a child who was given up by whom she thought was her mother. So her mother, who she thought was her mother, gave her to her aunt because her mother was married to a white man and the family was passing for white. And she was unable to pass. And so she was given to an aunt who was brown, darker skinned, and raised her. And she never got over that. She felt like she was given away for something that she had no control over.
Wow.
And that she was unwanted and unloved. And she didn't grow up feeling loved herself, although she was. The woman who took her did love her, but she was so angry at having been given up that she didn't mentally recover from that, and she brought it into her own situation when she became a parent.
Wow.
And
how old was she?
I'm sorry. I had a question.
I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued.
She was four years old when she was given to her aunt by parents. She was 4 years old, and
when she was four,
she remembered her, and she had two siblings who didn't get given up. They got to stay. But you have to read the book. When you read the book, I'm not going to tell you what happens. It was a ruse. So that's all I'll say. That whole given up thing was a ruse, and she doesn't find that out until she's in her mid-30s. After she's abandoned her own daughter. And so then the psychological dig into, okay, this is what I did, this is what I felt, and she starts to examine it, and she wants to heal the relationship at that point, but she doesn't have access to the girl.
Jeez.
Very interesting.
Really, isn't it? It sounds fascinating.
She's a jazz musician, so when she leaves her daughter, she leaves to pursue her career, and the father's a jazz musician as well. The father keeps the daughter and has a new relationship, so the daughter ends up having a stepmother. But both parents are jazz artists. And Charles,
is that true in life? I mean, was your dad a jazz artist and your mom?
No. My dad was a psychologist.
Oh, so that part is fictional.
Well, you may remember, Dr. Johnson.
Most of the book is fiction. None of it is based on
Israel.
Is me.
Yeah.
It's just then some of the abuse is stuff that was real. The narcissism is stuff that was real. But nothing about the characters is like me or my mother. The mother is Bermudian, and my mother is not Bermudian. The daughter is Latina, and I'm not Latina. So the daughter grows up in New York City with a jazz musician father. That was not my experience. I grew up in upstate New York with a psychologist father. So it's not a true story.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
I know
you embellished it well.
Yeah. I know you had a very successful, book presentation in Bermuda, talking about Bermuda.
Gina was there.
Yeah,
it was awesome to see Gina there. That was great.
Yeah, boy. Oh, but I can't really. You have me really curious now. I've got to get that book. So,
it's available on Amazon.com via Kindle or trade paperback. So you can order it immediately.
But listen, I'm not going to be mentioning all through the show. And then, of course, we're going to be scheduling you for another interview, in a couple weeks. because
okay.
I've got to hear more about this story. It sounds absolutely fascinating. I can't wait for it to become a movie. And
oh,
I'm quite
well.
Sure
that
it
is,
will be. Yeah.
It could very well be. You know.
Don't you have that feeling, Tony? Really? Seriously?
Well, I don't have that feeling at this time, but I am
mm-hmm.
open to cultivating that feeling.
Yeah.
I would love
well,
for somebody to make it a movie.
Well, let's
nobody,
do it. Let's work on that.
Nobody has offered to buy the movie rights at this point,
uh-huh.
but I hope that will change. We'll see.
Let's see if we have a bidding war, you know? You know, by the way,
well,
you're talking about, you know, your relative, you know? Now, for instance, Wayne and Tony, I was doing some research on my family, and a cousin of mine, they're all around in California and also Washington, sent me some information about my grandmother. And in it, I'm not going to say where it's from because I have to inform my cousins about this. In it, there was an article. She was in the newspaper in this little town in Virginia, I'll say Virginia. And
mm-hmm.
she was also a teacher, which I knew anyway. However, it also says that the article was about her leaving teaching and eloping with a tall, dark man.
And who's,
can you imagine that? Wait a minute. Can you imagine that in this one newspaper? I'm reading this newspaper, and
wow.
it's saying so-and-so left teaching, and she eloped with this tall, dark man. And that was the article. And of course, that was my grandfather. And so
wow.
thinking,
you know,
oh,
I guess
God.
Back
I just,
then they
would... Wait a minute. No, I just read this tonight. It was hilarious. I said, God, grandmother, mama, so-and-so, you know, really got me in the newspaper because she eloped. Left me, and then
that made the news.
But, yeah, and then they accepted her back into the school system to continue teaching. I
I'm just surprised that they would just go that far to describe, you know, but I guess back
yeah,
then that was
that
considered acceptable.
That kind of thing
is
a newspaper, and it really wasn't
yeah.
a local newspaper. It is hilarious. You wait until I tell my cousins and whatnot. They are going to really just, this is a funny story. But Tony,
yeah.
I think yours might be a little more juicy. You know, we'll see. But listen, I want you to come back.
It's
but
pretty
Tony, we'll have...
Oh, I didn't mention, the opening scene is the daughter finds her husband, the daughter's husband, having
uh-huh.
sex with her mother. That's how, that's
what?
The first
the daughter,
book.
Wait. The daughter's
wait,
husband...
Wait, say that again?
The daughter comes home and
yeah.
finds her husband having sex with the mother. That
oh.
was the opening of the book.
Okay.
That's what kicks off the story.
Is there an element? I don't. This may be off track, but is there an element of jazz or music in there? Does that play a part?
Yeah, I told you that both the parents are jazz artists.
Ah,
and so
okay.
That's how they meet.
That explains
okay.
the opening scene.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess you know.
Listen, I've got to get the book. It's always
yeah,
true.
Right. Well, I mean, the deal is, it sounds fascinating, and you know, whether jazz was a conduit to them having
uh-huh.
you know relations the minute the scene opens, you know, it's another story. But the thing
but
is,
you know
does sound very
they
interesting.
They meet at a bar in L.A. at Hal's Bar and Grill, which was a black owned bar and restaurant that has jazz music and Selena is a performer there, but she's not performing that night. The daughter's
mm-hmm.
husband is performing there that night, but because she's not in touch with the daughter, she doesn't know that that's her husband. He's just a young jazz musician, and they're attracted to each other.
Now, look, Tony, when I was at your book signing, you know, there in Harlem, it looked like it was selling out.
Oh, the
so
book sold
what,
out there.
The book
they
sold
didn't...
out?
Yeah, the
what?
Books, that's why you didn't get one, because they were you got there after they were all
no,
gone.
No wonder. No
yeah,
wonder.
The book,
okay.
Oh, that's
now,
great.
I mean, I can still get it. People can still get it, right?
You can still get it on Amazon, yeah.
Okay. Ah, now I got it. Okay. Oh, I can't
How long
wait.
Did it take you to write that, Tony?
You know, it was a really long, long, long process. So it started over 20 years ago, and it started with a dream that I had. I had a dream that I came home, and my dream version of my mother was having sex with my partner. And I took that dream and turned it into a short film with the intention of producing it and acting in it. And
okay. Why would you dream something like that? I mean, did you have McDonald's that night or something? Or,
I think because of some sort of underlying competition between myself and my mother that I wasn't conscious of. But that's common in a relationship with a narcissistic mother and a daughter. Competition is common in that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what's your mom's career? If you don't, your mom is still alive, obviously, right?
Yeah, my mom's still alive. She's an antique dealer.
Oh, okay, interesting.
And she has a antique store. By the way,
when she was younger.
She was. I didn't know that.
And she often told me that she was a lot prettier than I was.
Ooh.
She said I was pretty, but she was prettier.
Wow. Now I really got to meet them both, Kay. You know, this should have been television.
Tony is an actress. You know, she's a friend of Eric's. Yeah, and they were acting together. Oh,
okay. All right.
Yeah,
maybe she might even know my cousin.
I mean, well, your cousin is?
Nia Long. I don't know if you know Nia.
Oh, sure. I don't know her personally, but of course I know who she is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've met her, actually, but she wouldn't know me. But I know... Malcolm Lee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm lives not far from here in New Rochelle. And I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah.
Wow.
But,
I can't get over this.
Tony, I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tony, we will do this again.
Okay.
And I'm so glad
that I
haven't read the book.
I need to know one more narcissistic person.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, that's not me.
Oh, you're the other one?
I'm not a narcissist.
Well, your mom claims you are, but I don't know. Yeah. Well,
no, she doesn't.
I
claim she is.
Tony is absolutely stunning. Tony Johnson is one stunning young lady, okay?
Well,
I'm telling you right now. We've been friends for a long time. Well, the truth is, is out there, so you know that. But anyway, thank you for calling in. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I forgot that you were calling in.
Okay. Well,
because
thank
now
you
this
for
is made for a much
me.
More interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to talk to you again.
You too. Thank you both.
Okay,
Tony.
Have a good
okay. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night.
Boy,
Kay, I tell you, you never cease to amaze me with
I know, and Tony said such a beautiful young lady, and I've known her for a long period of time. So she wrote what, Lisa? She wrote Ruby Bridges, and what else was it?
For Disney.
Ruby Bridges. And this is the story of a little girl who went to school in Alabama or something? Yeah. Wow. Well, she's an artist. She really is.
And what was Tony's last name again? I'm sorry.
Johnson, Tony Johnson, T-O-N-I, Johnson,
okay.
Yeah. So I can't wait to talk to her again. Now I've got to get that book. I'm going to go on Amazon.com as soon as I get off the phone, by the way. But anyway, let's go back to New York City and when a big event happens in the United Nations. And I was saying at the onset of this that the United Nations probably is one of the most important buildings in the world, plus the fact that I was absolutely and still am absolutely fascinated with it because, I was a member of the press corps. I still have my United Nations press corps, credentials. So, I didn't even realize, what I had. This happened accidentally through a friend of mine in the 80s. So he said, come on, come
group.
In. Yeah. Anyway.
It's true.
What?
The thing is to be in the UN press corps is an elite group, I think. In many
I didn't realize how important
it
was at that time.
Come again? I'm sorry.
I said I didn't realize how important it was at that time because I had been to the United Nations on at least three other occasions. One was for
some event
that was formal, and the other two or three events were I was teaching school, and one of the trips that you did was taking the children to the United Nations. And this happened
in
Newark, New Jersey, in the Newark Public Schools.
I guess that still goes on, you know. I don't really hear much about, you know, tours.
Yeah,
but,
I don't either. But see, we're not involved on a daily basis in the school system anymore. But there's so many different activities and things going on that teachers do. I have a great deal of respect for teachers and for the educational system. As a matter of fact, I want to plug Newark right now. Newark is a center for higher education in the state of New Jersey. I think you heard me say that. Because there's six or seven different colleges downtown Newark, just in case people don't know how important education is in Newark. And by the way, what is this? The James Moody Democracy Jazz Festival coming up, right? Is this downtown Newark?
Wow.
At NJ PAC, New Jersey PAC, yeah. They have the new executive director down there. You know, his name is John Shriver. And I am telling you, this is New Jersey PAC has more things going on, especially with an emphasis on jazz, Wayne. So there's a lot of things. And then I want to tell people, too, about not only the jazz festival coming up, but where is this book? I want to say congratulations again to Victor Nichols. His magazine is a top success. I think he just, when he started the magazine, didn't he have a Queen Latifah on the cover?
Yeah.
He had Queen Latifah on the cover, you know, and... Who, Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
So, and a few other people. He is from Jersey. We know him from Maplewood, New Jersey. His magazine is absolutely wonderful. He talks about what's in downtown Newark. As a matter of fact, the name of the magazine is Newark Bound. So, people, if you want to get this Newark magazine, things are happening downtown Newark, you know. So, lots of things. There's a lot of new businesses going on. There's a... jazz restaurant. What's the name of the jazz restaurant? Vonda's new jazz restaurant is called Duke's.
I've heard of that.
Oh, the food there, Vonda McPherson, right. And that will be opening in October. The New Jersey Performing Arts Center, Oprah is coming there. I think that's probably in a week or so. It has a section that reminds me of Soho, and this is around the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. There's Al Jaira there. There's the library. They have more jazz down there, more good restaurants down there. There is the Prudential Center down there where the big gospel festival. And you know how everybody comes from all the churches and all around the country for that. And so forth, and it's just absolutely amazing, really. And the James Moody Democracy of Jazz in November. There's the Geraldine Dodge Poetry Festival again. There's going to be a new casting company downtown Newark, and that's going to be affiliated with Al Jaira. That's one thing I have wanted to tell you about. Also. The The Congressional Black Caucus this week is going on in Washington. That's why Eric is not here. And that's why I was hoping that he would get Congressman Donald Payne Jr., you know, to call in. But we will save that for next week. And then my daughter Gina is in Washington also.
I remember going to those.
They're
great events. I think, Wednesday night is usually the big dinner or...
Yeah,
and,
the boat ride and all
I know,
that kind of stuff, yeah.
Right. And I guess with all the activity happening here in New York, you know, with the president, I guess he wouldn't be in a position to address the gathering. But it's
but
always
a great
turnout. But
I think he did make a flute to what? Lisa was just telling me about when Obama came off the plane, how he made the salute with the coffee cup in his hand.
Oh, yeah, somebody was making some hay about, like as if he had done something disrespectful. I just heard it in passing.
Some people are so tacky and jealous. So he came off the plane with a cup of coffee. Who cares?
Exactly. I mean, it's like they got to find something to nail him with. They can't see that
George
his marriage
did it with
is
his dog. Bush came off the plane with his dog, if we remember correctly.
Oh, please.
He's alluded using his dog.
it's you know, and we all know Bush's communicative skills were like really top notch compared to Obama.
Well, you go back to when
know?
World Trade was bombed and how he sat there, like, you know.
Yeah.
I can't blame him because he was stunned as everyone else was so stunned, you know. So.
No, but I mean, awful. Even at that, but I mean, just you know, when you juxtapose Bush versus Obama, you know, they're going to complain about his
balloon
because he
know.
Had a coffee cup. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Let them complain. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, I don't know.
He's
just
in his second, you know, he's done a wonderful job. And still, you know, these other people, the Republicans mainly, they want to blame him for everything except childbirth. You know, so they are crazy people. Who is paying attention to them? Okay. A few people. However, you know. So, Wayne, are you still there? Hello, Wayne. I think we have lost Wayne. Wayne, please call back. We have lost you for a few minutes here. I still want to go over, let people know what's going downtown now or Newark now. We mentioned a few things. However, Wanda Sykes is going to be down there. I think she's going to be there this weekend, you know, September 26th and 20th. What was last weekend? Says here. Oprah Winfrey is coming on September 26th and 27th. We'll have to get down there. And then you have at the Red Bull Arena, you have that downtown. Let me see what else. God, so many things. The Dodge, I was talking about the Geraldine Dodge Poetry Festival. That's going to be down there again because I think they had stopped that for a while or either they just took a 2-year break or something. I'm not sure. And the James Moody Democracy Jazz Festival down at New Jersey PAC. So many things, you know. Hey, Patti LaBelle coming downtown Newark. Disney on Ice coming to the Prudential Center downtown Newark. Whoa. And there's a new hotel downtown Newark, Yule, you know, so get down there. Newark is coming along. By the way, Mary Baraka, his son is now the mayor in Newark, Ras Baraka, Mayor Ras Baraka. And he is doing quite well, we understand, and so we're going to be keeping everybody informed about what's going on. But downtown Newark is really quite a change. So let's
Hi,
get
Kay,
Wayne back on the
me?
Show. Yeah. Yes, I can hear
yeah,
you
Yeah, I
now.
Don't know what happened. I had gotten cut off twice. I thought maybe I hadn't paid the bill or something, you know. But, they just said, hey, your time is up, and, you know,
yeah.
I figured I'll try it third time.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's it. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. So I missed a little bit of what you were discussing regarding Newark.
No, I was
Newark,
telling people about what's
know.
Going on, about what's going on downtown Newark with the big
Yeah,
dance.
I tell you. I mean,
and Oprah
it really
Winfrey
rivals
and
New York
Disney
now.
On Ice. Disney on Ice. You know, look, Newark has been known for a long time as a jazz center. You know,
right, I know.
Patti LaBelle, is she coming? Or, you know, I'm talking to Lisa here as I do the show today. Because we have so many different
haven't
ways
seen your
hello,
lovely
Lisa.
Daughter in so long.
Yes.
How is she?
She's giving me cues. She's doing fine. We have a lot of things going on. You know, the Newark Museum, by the way, is fantastic. There's not a place to. There's so many things for so many groups of people. That's the interesting thing about Newark. I'm really pushing Newark because I like what's going on there, and a lot of people in New York don't understand that New Jersey. Is giving New York, even though New York is a little bigger, you know, and they have the, you know, the Great White Way there. New Jersey is coming along here.
Well, I tell you, the problem with New York now is just like it's become so oversaturated that, you know, I mean, I live here and I hate driving through it. And then you got weeks like this week where, you know, the congestion is like unbelievable. You know, I mean, it's like become really a tourist town, and
yes,
I don't remember it like this. I guess it was like this in the beginning, but you have so many different nationalities.
Well, there are a lot more people. Yeah, a lot more people is you know in New York City. You know,
and I think it's going to hurt the city in some instances because the services that we once had, you know, don't seem to. In other words, I just think there's such a preponderance of folk here that it can't accommodate everybody with everyone's needs. you know.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do that.
And it's just one of
those
things.
God bless your new mayor there, Mayor Blasio. I don't know how he's going to do it. But another thing I wanted to get in, tell people about, was that there was casting going on. There's going to be a new casting company. There's a new casting agency coming downtown Newark, I understand. This is the first announcement of it. I'm getting a lot of information, you know, and this is going to be really shaping the shape of our show, by the way, because I'm going to be letting people know what's going on in Newark, what's going on in movies and, you know, with film, casting companies. They casted for the children for The Lion King, was it, Lee? NJ Pack had a huge audition for casting,
right,
was an open call for The Lion King, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's just amazing. So, you know, new stuff all over. And the education system, we're watching that very, very carefully. There are going to be several changes, you know, and everybody's keeping their eyes on, you know, the different areas of, you know, the Common Core and all that kind of thing. And that's going to be under our education person along with me, and that is Ann Alexander, who is, you know, a mediator for a lot of these things with the school system. But also, I don't know if I told people about Disney on Ice is going to be down at the Prudential Center downtown Newark.
Wow.
So a lot of things. So, Wayne, I guess you're going to have to move to New Jersey.
That's how I feel, I tell you. I think I'm missing out on a lot that goes on. I mean, and Lord knows I've just about done everything here that needs to be seen, you know, so I need to change the scenery. And I love the Jersey Shore, you know. I love going down there from time to time and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right about Newark. I remember, you know, the couple of summers I was working over there at Rutgers, and it was such a pleasure just to go into that environment. I mean, the train was so accessible, you know, and you'd go up the street or take the streetcar up to the university there. And you're
that's
just
right, because they do have a streetcar, And
yeah,
in order
well,
in other words, to get to the
subway
Prudential.
Or something.
Light rail system. Yeah, and then also they
right.
do have a it's a light rail system that runs through the city of Newark, making it. Mm-hmm. See, so it has that New York look and the New York feel, but it still has, you know, like a smaller city feel. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
And the cultures, you know, the Latino, you know, community is growing by leaps and bounds. Chinese community is growing. I mean, the Brazilian
and the
community.
And
a
huge,
you know.
Portuguese and Brazilian, yeah.
I love the
Ironbound. Is it the Ironbound district?
The Ironbound,
the
that's right down from New Jersey Performing Arts Center and Prudential Arena. It's all in that same area. And it's in a lot of it is within walking distance. And the new arena for the Red Bulls and the soccer? Come on. I mean, it's true. And I sound like a champion or a cheerleader for Newark, but I think I am.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll nominate you Chamber of Commerce person and all that.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
what happened to the baseball team? I remember one time, and I don't know, I heard that it fell on hard times or something.
I don't know too much about that, the softball teams, but I can always find out because I remember, yes, they did have, you know, several things. But also, you have to remember that the Jazz is mainly the, you know, really, WBGO Jazz is located in Newark.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say,
Sarah Vaughan. Sarah Vaughan was from Newark. All right?
Right.
Queen Latifah. Latifah is from Jersey. I think she, you know, was in Irvington.
I think she's
from,
is she?
Yeah. I don't know if she's from Irvington, but I think she went to Irvington High School with Sarah Vaughan. You know, Sarah's daughter went to my dancing school. And she's now in California. I think she was acting for a while there. I'm not sure. But also, so did Whitney Houston went to my dancing school. I didn't even, you know, the Thompson Dance Studio. I don't even remember Whitney. I remember Dana. Okay, the name Dana.
Dana.
And that is that's Queen Latifah's name. But I don't remember her. I remember we had a Dana. I have no idea whether it was presently Queen Latifah or not. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Because we had a few hundreds of students over a 20-year, almost a 20-year period. So, and there's so many historic things in Newark. I'm really pushing it because I'm very happy to see that this is happening, you know, so close, you know, and it's not far, you know, into New York, you know, it's like, What? If you're going to get the, you know, the,
no more than 10-15 minutes from Penn Station.
Not even
in,
that.
In
not
New
even
York
that.
City.
Less than
yeah.
that. Downtown
yeah,
York,
probably.
You know, Penn Station. No, you get on that. It's about 7 or 8 minutes. That's all.
Yeah.
Listen, I
yeah.
know. I used to take the train sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But for the most part, I would drive and pay all that
and,
rent.
And then you have
parking.
The. Well, I'm sorry not to cut you off, Kay, but
that's okay. Yeah,
I know also
huge Caribbean community over here. Also, by the way.
Yeah, that,
huge
that, that's
Haitian
true.
Haitian community, the Caribbean,
yeah.
other, rest of the Caribbean community. Yeah, really
and,
great.
And there's a Labor Day event there too, right? Similar
yep.
to what goes
yep.
on in New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And also the Caribbean Festival, the parades and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I tell you, it's international, it's multi-ethnic, and it's a great little town. And then, and I also
little?
Don't think it's half as expensive as. Well, it's the large. Is that
no,
the largest
it's not
city
as
in New Jersey, right?
If you're talking about you know expensive, listen, going into New York is a pain in the neck. Trying to
oh,
get around
I
in New York and
say,
parking
I would rather,
in New York, please, yeah. I
yeah,
know,
I would
I
rather dine
number.
In Jersey than, you know, New York, forget about it. You know, I've gotten to the point now where I definitely have to eat at home because, you know, going out is even going to McDonald's, Kay, is almost $10 for a stinking meal, and it's not worth that. It's really not worth that, you know, given the, well, I don't want to get graphic at this point, but, you know,
please
the
don't,
bottom line is
don't.
It's just not worth it. You
but
know,
listen,
I just,
let's,
and
let's
I just think things
bit.
Have just become too expensive.
Yeah, they have. But let's talk a little bit more about, you know, about, you know, Obama's trip today and the things that he covered. You know, I mean, I was amazed.
Yeah.
I was amazed at, not amazed at his speech, but I'm so glad that he, you know, covered so many, many things. And there were so many nations there. You know, that was so exciting. He was saying that, you know, that the he made it clear that other countries, there's a collective responsibility of the various countries.
Right.
And they came together to resist, and they should come to resist violent, you know, extremists. And they're looking for, and it should happen, that they're come together, I mean, for cooperation among the different countries to, you know, withstand this new terror. So he talked about extremists and not those who, you know, preach hatred, being in
yeah.
control of things. He also touched on racial supremacy, and he said that no racial gain, something like that, must gain superiority over one group or another. And he also
right.
talked about the corrupt presidents in some area and the causes of you know, you know, some of these activities leading to war. I mean, when you think of war in the world, and he's talking about world peace, you know, and climate change. He's talking about climate change, and a lot of people aren't even paying attention to climate change because they don't think the Earth is in trouble.
Well, I mean, if anything, you know, if you've lived in this area long enough and have seen the recent changes in the way, you know, we get weather compared to how it was
yeah.
on a regular basis years ago, you know, mm-hmm. something is happening.
Something
you know, whatever
is
you
strange
want to call
is
it.
Happening, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And mm-hmm. You know, some people say that we're returning to the Ice Age, and others say that, you know, obviously it's global warming, but clearly there's a problem, and man is largely responsible for a lot of the destruction that has gone on. That's why I'm so proud of all the efforts to make America green, and I just hope it spreads throughout the world.
Yeah.
But one of the
uh-huh.
things
uh-huh.
that Obama touched on today, which I think is significant because there's been a renewal of the racial tension in Ferguson again.
Yes.
There were disturbances
yes.
last night. And I understand that they have a heavy police presence in the town tonight. But, you know, he touched on
again?
The fact that America has its warts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. There was a major disturbance there last night. And they're doubling up on the number of police and, you know, surveillance in the areas that were considered the hot spots during the height of that shooting incident. But Obama, you know, was open enough, for lack of a better word, to discuss America's warts. And he said that one of the biggest international embarrassments of the United States was what went on in Ferguson. And
yes.
I'm so glad that he pointed that out because, you know, we have a lot of work here to do, too.
Sure.
You know, it's one
mm-hmm.
thing to talk about, the barbaric behavior of religious groups acting out and trying to change and become more dominant in the Middle East and all that. And a lot of it is driven over not just religion, but oil and oil wealth and all that
yeah.
business. But, you know, we have problems here that we have to work on. And,
we also
you know,
have problems
man's inhumanity is human.
Yeah, the problems with the police, different police departments, okay?
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about the majority of the police being one color or one group than the other, that's dangerous. For instance,
it
I know about who is the couple
you know.
Of police were, you know, suspended. One guy for kicking a woman, another one for throwing her in, you know, the street or something. You know,
well,
sure,
another,
they should be suspended.
Was,
they should be fired, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, and the thing is that every day you open the paper, there was an incident in Brooklyn today. What's his name? The attorney that used to be with Sharpton all the time. I can't think of his name, but I see his face now. He's representing
Alton?
A woman, a black woman who was, not Alton, the Jewish
mm-hmm.
fellow, Rubenstein.
Mm-hmm.
He is representing a black woman who had an encounter with the police, pregnant
mm-hmm.
woman, I believe of African descent, and
mm-hmm.
As in a native of the continent of Africa. And she's pregnant, and they have phone camera snapshots of her being kicked by a policeman.
Yes, I
in
saw
her
that.
Stomach.
I saw that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, you know, I mean, the deal is, it just shows how decadent we've become. And I mean, there's no respect for anything, you know, not even a woman. I mean, regardless, if she had done something wrong and you wanted to subdue this person, kicking a pregnant woman in the stomach is the way you subdue her. You know, I just, unfathomable, Kay. I mean, it just,
uh-huh.
I couldn't believe it, you know, when I heard it. And I'm looking for the story. I just haven't had a chance to find it on the internet. But, you know, I'm certain it's going to be in the papers tomorrow.
Let's hope that he is relieved of his duties. Let's hope that he becomes a former police person. Let's hope that they really do what is necessary. Because once you keep doing that, you know, groups of people will start reacting again. And you remember the problems that we had in the early days of WLIB, okay,
right,
with the
right.
movement, you know, in the streets. So, you know, there was a whole lot of things going on and, you know, a lot of things that there's so many different cases, you know, that we could be talking about.
Yeah, but you know
so.
What? I think we've lost a little bit of that activism that we once had, you know.
I think you're right.
Remember you had Professor Leonard Jeffries on recently.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
That was one of the questions that I had to ask because, you know, it bothers me. I mean, there was we always, and Kay, you're of that era also, where, you know, you just put things in check. If you saw something that was going on wrong, you know, that there were community groups
that
you bonded with.
We talked about it on air. What the heck? Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, and you don't see that level of activism. You hear the disgust and the outrage whenever something happens. But
mm-hmm.
it's almost like as if we are now, instead of being proactive to stifle or stymie some of this activity before it happens, we are still in this position where we're overwhelmed and we react as opposed to doing things to bring about some sort of behavior modification on the part of police so they would understand how to interact with people of color. And
mm-hmm.
regardless of where,
and
so where
isn't
you are.
It amazing that they, isn't it amazing that they still haven't, you know, figured that out? You know, and you know one thing, when, you know, you hate to keep talk or see even
I
say
know.
Racism.
Right.
But let me tell everybody, it still exists. And with some police departments, it exists even more. And the solution, I would imagine, or a possible solution, would be to fully integrate your police forces representing the various people, cultures, in your community. You can't do it with one group of people not understanding the whole, you know, the whole thing. The whole group of people.
Yeah, I agree
with
you, Kay. I mean,
thing.
I think that is something that's very important, but I also think at the same time that there's a certain culture of being a cop, you know, that you know, that needs to be addressed. There's a demeanor that you know, I don't know if it's something that you pick up in the schools when you're under training, but, you know, it's almost as if that, you know, that they look at the average person, the average citizen, as if they're subservient, you know, that I'm an elitist now because I've joined this task force, paramilitary task force.
And, yeah, they don't
and
understand that they're working
this,
for the people, not against the people.
That's exactly.
You see, they're
that's
working
the issue
for
hand.
Them, and they have to be for
right.
the people. You know, but some
yeah,
of them come
you know?
With these views, and they should not ever be on a police force.
Right.
So.
Well, as they say in L.A., they're there to protect and serve, you know, and that should be throughout the country, you know, protect and serve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're a civil servant. You serve at the pleasure of the mayor and whomever is in charge, but the bottom line is you're serving us, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's it. But unbelievable with what goes on in town. And again, I you know, there's got to be a screening process, you know, the same way, you know, that we have all this abuse being brought out into the public now with respect to women being battered and, you know, the wives and girlfriends of NFL players and things like that. And, you know, I mean, that's another subject that we can get into again
yes,
another
it
time.
Is.
But
you know,
but
I'll tell you
all...
one thing. That I have a problem with that because of the fact that why is it that the NFL, I understand that there are a lot of black players, but do you mean to tell
mm-hmm.
me that the people who are, you know, being chastised, not saying that they don't deserve it now, men should keep their hands to themselves, but these guys
yeah.
probably are so hipped up, so energized when they're playing that they probably forget their strength in dealing with their children or their wives, okay?
That's true.
So, but why is it that they're all black that we see? You mean to tell me that there's not one white person who beats up his wife or something, or beats up his girlfriend? Okay,
oh.
why aren't they talking to
uh-huh.
these black women, the women's organizations, about this? Okay, no one expects any woman to, you know, condone the beating of another woman, but you've got to, you know, put this in perspective. Women have the right to say what they feel about their guys, and listen, I'm getting tongue-tied
right.
because I get so annoyed with it. Whenever you talk about racism, it goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, so, but anyway.
No, you're absolutely
so,
right,
listen,
Kay.
We're
I mean,
coming
been...
to, yeah, go ahead.
Already?
Yeah,
already?
It's 8:55.
Yeah,
well, you know how we
yeah.
do when we start talking, you know? So
yeah,
Eric
yeah,
will
get
be back
away.
Next week. Gina will be back. We're going to be hearing about education abroad. And Alexander will be back and a few other people. And we're planning on a lot of new shows, a lot of new relationships with people in various countries, you know, bringing different information that we need to hear and will want to hear. By the way, there's a new casting company downtown Newark, casting for different plays and different things going on in the city. So that's really interesting. The jazz is loud and well in Newark, and it's absolutely fantastic. And there's programs at some of the main places that we all know of, and the games. And, you know, the arena is out here. Oh, boy.
Well, I hope to
get
down there soon. You know, it's only a train ride away. So
and the restaurant's superb. The restaurant's superb.
Yeah.
If you want some good Spanish food, if you want some good Caribbean food, if you want some good black food.
Right.
I'm not saying black food, but black restaurants, let me tell you. You know, you think Sylvia's is great, it still is great. But you got to
well,
test
I,
the food down.
Well,
down,
I'll reserve
know.
My comment about Sylvia's after the show. So, anyway, but.
Are you hungry yet?
You know. Huh?
Okay, Wayne Gilman, we're going.
Okay, Kay.
We'll be joining next week.
Right. Take care.
For Kay Thompson Live. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay.